Are you looking for a book that clearly explains the differences between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, if so, Mormonism 101 by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson may be what you're looking for. Mormonism 101 is a great overview of the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Pick up your copy at the Utah Christian Research Center, located right there at 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper, Utah. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. This week we began looking at an article in the March 2024 edition of the Liahona Magazine. As I explained earlier, the Liahona Magazine is a monthly publication put out by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, primarily for its adult membership. There was an article that began on page U8, and again, we should explain that the article that we are looking at was not an article that everybody received, even if they had a subscription to the Liahona Magazine. This article was in a special section that only went to members, or subscribers, we should say, because we get it and we're not members, but subscribers that live in the United States or Canada, in other words, North American subscribers. Titled Witnesses of the Gold Plates of the Book of Mormon, it was written by Mark Ashurst McGee, and he's described as Senior Historian, Joseph Smith Papers Project, Church History Department. And he's going to try and make the case that you should believe the Book of Mormon because there were allegedly a lot of individuals who saw the gold plates. That is the big question. Did they really see tangible plates? Well, Mr. Ashurst McGee is going to try and make that case. So we've spent the first few days just going through the first paragraph because the paragraph he begins with is taken from Joseph Smith's history, and that's chapter 1, verse 34, where he talks about an angel Moroni that appears to Joseph Smith and told Joseph Smith about the gold plates. And this angel also said that the fullness of the everlasting gospel was contained in it, or on the gold plates, engraven on the gold plates, as they were delivered by the Savior to the ancient inhabitants of this American continent. That's the background here, and as we've gone through that first paragraph, there's really a lot of information that we can glean from that, even though the paragraph itself certainly does not go into a lot of that detail that we have tried to cover. Well, now we move on to the second paragraph, where the author, Mark Ashurst McGee, says, 4 years later, on September 22, 1827, Moroni committed the plates into Joseph Smith's charge.
It continues, as Joseph later explained, quote, "He told me that when I got those plates of which he had spoken, I should not show them to any person, only to those whom I should be commanded to show them," end quote. And that's from Joseph Smith History, chapter 1, verse 42 in The Pearl of Great Price.
Now, South Park made a lot of fun about this when they had their episode on Joseph Smith and Mormonism. Why is it that people can't see these plates? What is so special about them that you can't see them? Certainly, we don't see a lot of these restrictions in the Bible, but why the gold plates? You would think that would be something that would really prove or support Joseph Smith's story. I remember one time asking a tour guide at the conference center in downtown Salt Lake City that if the plates really existed and the church had the plates, would they put them on display? It was interesting. The answer that I received was probably not. And the answer was more along the lines of a security problem. I mean, that would be a lot of gold, and they would probably run the risk of them being stolen. Which, of course, you can make sure that even a very expensive exhibit could be protected. I mean, look at all the exhibits we see in the Louvre or in the British Museum. They're worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, perhaps even millions of dollars, and yet they're protected by security. But I responded to this lady by saying, well, do you realize if the plates were on display, if they really existed, I mean, if to see actual gold plates that could be verified and inspected, looked at as far as the characters were concerned, well, I didn't really make a very convincing argument for her. She didn't think that that would be a good idea. But the fact is, the LDS Church doesn't have the gold plates. They do not have the actual record that the angel supposedly gave to Joseph Smith. You have to take it by faith, and in this case, I would say a blind faith, because you're really having to trust Joseph Smith, which when you look at Joseph Smith's credibility throughout his lifetime, not really all that stellar. But yet a lot of Latter-day Saints don't think about all of his blunders and some of the things that he did, how he treated his wife, Emma, when it came to all his secret wives that he was marrying. They don't know a lot of this, or they don't care, perhaps. I don't know. But we see from this paragraph that Joseph Smith, 4 years later, is now going to get these gold plates. And we're to assume, according to this story and what the author is trying to accomplish, they were real plates. But then he goes on.
The plates were sacred, and Joseph did not show them to others without permission. However, many individuals felt the plates while covered and even heard the metal sounds of the plates. When the translation was finished, the three and the eight witnesses saw the plates uncovered, and the eight witnesses handled them uncovered. The plates were, therefore, witnessed with three senses, seeing, touching, and hearing.
Let me stop you there. The plates were sacred. Yes, they probably were to a person who was a follower of Joseph Smith, naturally, because they were explained to be a sacred writing, an ancient scripture. So obviously they would be sacred if they are scripture. It says Joseph did not show them to others without permission. Now, here's what's interesting. The angel basically tells him not to show them to any person, and then we have an ellipsis in the previous paragraph, only to those to whom I should be commanded to show them. So he's only going to be allowed to show them to certain people that are very close to Joseph Smith, probably already see him as a true prophet of God, and I would assume that's exactly what they thought about Joseph Smith. And it's in a very small, small circle. He didn't show them to others without permission. And that would be later on when they are coming to the close of the translation of the Book of Mormon. It's at that time that they're translating the Book of Ether, which is the next to the last book in the Book of Mormon. It's just before the Book of Moroni. This is where the three witnesses, when they come across that portion that three are going to be chosen to see them, urge Joseph Smith that they can be the three that are supposed to see these plates. Joseph Smith is urged to allow these three. That would be Oliver Cowdery, his distant cousin. That would be Martin Harris, and it would also be David Whitmer. And it almost gives you the impression when you read this account that they kind of coaxed him into allowing them to be the three that the Book of Mormon mentions. So what happens here? They pray about it, and Joseph Smith feels like he gets permission to allow these three men. Now, these three men are very close to Joseph Smith. And so what happens, according to the story, is Joseph Smith allows them to see the plates, but they don't get to see the plates where Joseph Smith is actually translating the plates. Because you have to remember, at this time, Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery are translating the plates in an upstairs bedroom in the Peter Whitmer home. Peter Whitmer is the father of David Whitmer, who becomes one of the original three witnesses. You would think that if they are going to be allowed to see the plates, and God gives the green light that he can show them to these three individuals, that you could just simply take them upstairs and show them the plates, because that's where Oliver and Joseph were doing the translating. But that's not how the narrative goes. No, they don't get to see the plates in the Peter Whitmer cabin, as it was at that time. They have to go out into some woods in order to see the plates.
Bill, let's just talk about those 11 witnesses. And you actually have an article on our website, mrm.org/11, spelled out E-L-E-V-E-N, hyphen witnesses. And you talk about how the three witnesses, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, David Whitmer, and the eight witnesses, Christian Whitmer, Jacob Whitmer, Peter Whitmer, John Whitmer, Hiram Page, Joseph Smith Sr., Hiram Smith, and Samuel Smith. Now, you've heard the same last names all the way through here, and you write, of the 11 men, three were directly related to Smith, his father and two brothers. Oliver Cowdery was a distant cousin to Joseph Smith. The Whitmers were brothers to David Whitmer. In fact, you also have Hiram Page, who is the brother-in-law of David Whitmer. So you have a lot of family similarities here. There's not a lot of strangers here. I think this is something that's important, because if these are the people we're supposed to trust, there's something a little suspicious. They all come from the same, basically, three families.
So as we look at what Mr. Ashurst McGee has said, again, the plates were sacred. Joseph did not show them to others without permission. And as you pointed out, Eric, it was from a very small circle of Joseph Smith's acquaintances that we find this. That might not bother some people. It seems to be, as you said, a little bit suspicious. But the author says, however, many individuals felt the plates while covered and even heard the metal sounds of the plates. Let's talk about that, because if in fact Joseph Smith had gold plates, and let's assume we're going by what the angel said. The angel never said it was an alloy. He just merely said they were gold plates. Other leaders have said that they were plates of gold. You have, again, other leaders saying it was an alloy of gold and some other metal. But when the author says, heard the metal sounds of the plates, I have to argue, whatever they heard certainly was not coming from plates that were made of gold. Because gold plates, being as dense and heavy and as pliable as they are, wouldn't make a sound like that. Now, at the Utah Christian Research Center, we have a display, a gold plates display. And of course, the heaviest set of plates we have are made of lead. Lead is not quite the density, of course, of gold. But if you were to lift one of those pages, and we don't encourage people to do it because they are very fragile, but if you lifted the plates and you drop them, they thump. They don't make this metal sound as is being implied here in this paragraph on page U8 in this article. Do most Latter-day Saints understand this? Because we know that Emma Smith, for instance, she also ran her fingers across the edge of the plates. Now, they were always covered up. She claimed she never looked at them, but she ran her finger across the plates, and she said they also made this metallic sound. Smith may have had something covered up, but it doesn't sound like they were gold plates. Certainly not the way they're making a metallic sound. That just would not happen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.